2 Timothy 3:14 through 17 says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you have because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, Instructions Provided. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be accurate and teach what you want taught, to give us open hearts and ears to hear it and receive it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage is, as I said, is interesting to me because we often talk and focus on the verse 16 aspect of it. But when we look at the larger context, we see that it has to do with training. When it talks about training, rebuking, correcting, all these things, it's talking about in the context of child rearing. Because we see this reference, and he says to me, he knows who he's learned it from. He's learned it from his mother and his grandmother. And we know this from looking at 2 Timothy 1:5. Again, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. And so there's the context. He is talking about what his grandmother and his mother have taught him. Paul, of course, writing to Timothy, and kind of Timothy is considered a spiritual son, if you will, of Paul. I mean, he wasn't his actual son, but they were connected, and Timothy really received a lot of training through Paul. And so he is commending him now, looking at him and how he's grown up and he's grown in his faith, and Paul is commending him, and he's recognizing that the reason that so much of this has happened is because what Timothy knows, his knowledge of Scripture and his knowledge of God and his ability to serve the Lord, is because of it being passed along. Now here we see he is the third generation. It starts with the grandmother Lois, and then to the mother Eunice, and now to Timothy. And so it's passed on from generation to generation, this training. You know, really kind of one of the reasons why what I was praying about, Lord, we need to understand the importance of moms, of parents, in the training, because this is what they do. They train up the next generation. And this faith is passed on, and so Paul is commending him for that. We also know, though, and I'm going to, and the reason I'm going to bring this up, because you'll understand here in a minute, we can pass on our faith, or we can pass on our fallen life. Which are we going to pass on to our kids? They're going to get one or the other. When we interact with them, when they watch us, when we live our lives, when we train them, when we discipline them, all those things, what are they getting from us? If we either have our renewed life in Christ and we pass that on to them, or we have our old life that we are not saved, we're not born again, we're not repentant, and we can pass that on to them as well. It becomes very important, and I want to deal with this first, and we need to deal with ourselves. Before we can really become, in this case, as we celebrate moms, the moms that we want to be, we have to deal with ourselves first. Because if we aren't what we should be, it's going to be hard for us to pass on to them what we want them to be and what they should be. So what are we going to pass on? We can pass on our faith, or we can pass on our fallen nature, our sin, our mistakes, our disobedience. Numbers 14:18 says, "The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiveness, forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation." Sin that is not repented of, sin that is not dealt with, gets passed on. When our lives are failed and flawed and unrepentant, and we're living outside of God's will, that gets passed on to our kids as well. So which are we going to pass on? Are we going to pass on our fallen nature, our failed lives, our disobedience to God, or are we going to pass on a life that is serving the Lord? That becomes the big question. So as we have children, as we raise them, we need to make sure that we've dealt with ourselves first. Has there ever been a parent that hasn't wanted their children to just grow up to be wonderful, sweet, loving, you know, obedient children? Has there ever been a parent that said, "No, I don't want my kid to grow up to be that. I want them to grow up to be mean and nasty and troublemakers"? Has that parent ever existed? No. How are we going to train them to be that respectful, obedient, loving, caring person if we don't have it in ourselves to pass on to them. So if we want to be a good parent, be a good mom, then we need to deal with ourselves first and foremost before we can pass that on. We sometimes say that we receive no instruction. You know, these kids come into the world and it's like they don't come with an instruction book. How many times have you said that or heard that said? Well, I say, you know what? Instructions are provided with our kids, and we see it here today. And this is a different context from what we usually see this passage of Scripture, like I said, or that we discuss it. This passage is the Bible, the Word of God, has been given to us for the training of children, because it's talking about Timothy's upbringing, and then we see how he was taught how to care for him. Let's go back to our opening passage, 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. And Paul's writing, but as for you, you being Timothy, continue in what you have learned. Who did he learn it from? Lois and Eunice, right? Grandma and mom. What you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. And how from infancy, right? He's writing, yes, Timothy as a grown adult, but he's saying, from infancy, when you were an infant, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through your faith in Christ. And here's where we get into this part that we always use in so many other ways, but if you look at this passage, it's tied directly to the training of children. We are given the instructions with our kids when they come into the world. So he says, from infancy, you've been taught Scripture. Well, what is Scripture? Verse 13 or 16 tells us. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So verse 14 tells us right off the bat that it is important that you live out what you teach, which is what I was just commenting on earlier. Because it says, because you know those from whom you learned it. Paul is saying to Timothy, you know the people that taught you this. Their lives, in watching them, have been demonstrated to be trustworthy. You trust grandma and you trust mom because you know them. You know the kind of people they are. You know they're good people. You know they're godly people. You know they're obedient people. You know that they are serving others the way God wants them to. You know who you've learned it. You can trust it because you know the quality of the people that you've learned it from. Now, we all know people who tell us things and we don't trust it. Why? Because we know who's telling us and they're not trustworthy people. Amen? I'm not saying a lot. Hopefully, we don't have a lot of people like that in our lives, but we've all had people like that around us where they tell you something and you don't trust it, you know? I mean, I heard somebody say just yesterday about somebody, I don't trust them any farther than I can throw them, right? So we all know that it makes a difference on how we trust something. Is that person trustworthy? And Paul is saying here, you trust what you were raised what you've taught because you know the people that taught it to you. Your mother and your grandmother are trustworthy, godly people. So that's the first thing that we want to make sure of, is that it's important that we live the life that we are teaching. If we're going to teach it to our children, then we need to be living it our lives, ourselves. So you go on into verse 15, and it says that he was started being taught at infancy, from the very, very beginning. He was being taught the Word of God. Now, this is one reason why we give at baby dedication, we give a Bible. And when is it too early to start reading to your children the Bible? Never. Start reading it from the very beginning. I mean, when you put them to bed at night, read a Bible story. That's why we give the children's Bibles. They have the short little stories. And read those. It makes a difference. It's never too early to start putting the Word of God in them. Never too early. We got a video a while back. It's been a couple months. And I think it was a video or a picture. And it was Callie, not yet 3 years old, and Cameron, And Callie has her Bible that we gave her at dedication, and she's telling Cameron Bible stories. You couldn't have done anything to make me happier than to see that. And she's repeating the stories. Not that she can't read, but she's got the Bible open, and she's telling the stories. Why? Because Courtney has told her the stories, and now she's repeating them to Cameron. As Cameron sat there in her little chair and listened to her sister. If you don't think that doesn't make an impact on those lives to get that put in them at a young age, it is from infancy. The reason that you are growing into be the man that you are, Timothy, is because you've been being taught this from infancy. And we're told, of course, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. It makes it, and we're going to talk here in a minute about why it's so important to do it when they are young. But let's first look at verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It is not an accident that verse 16, that we always pull out and apply to all kinds of Bible teaching, it's not an accident that it comes right after Paul commending Timothy for learning the scripture from infancy. And the very next verse is, why is it so important that Timothy learn these scriptures from infancy? Because it's useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This 2 Timothy 3:16, which is used in so many different capacities, primarily written to apply to the training and upbringing of children. Of children. So it's no accident that verse 16 follows this idea that he's being taught scripture since infancy. You sometimes hear parents say, I want to let my children make decisions about their faith for themselves. You ever hear people say that? Well, I'm not going to push my faith on my kids. That's something they need to come to their own decision about. Big mistake. By the time your kids are going off to school, and certainly by the time they get to junior high and high school, who is spending more hours a day with your kids, you or the world? The world. And what is the world teaching them? They're teaching them that you're not mom, you're just a birthing person. I'll try not to get too carried away on this. Big mistake, okay? 2 Timothy 3:16 makes it clear that they need to be what when they're young? They need to be taught. Now, unless God's wrong, God says your children need to be taught. He doesn't say, hey, just let them figure it out for themselves. He says, teach them, right? Correct them, rebuke them, train them. That's your job from infancy. Do that. Do not let them figure it out on their own. Because you know why? One, kids need to be trained because they don't know anything. How many of you can look back and go, when I was a kid, the things I did, oh my gosh, just crazy, stupid, right? Why? Because you don't know anything. The only way that we learn is by getting trained. You can't let them figure it out for themselves, because here's the one thing. Even if they don't do horrible things, the problem with letting people, a child, figure things out for themselves, all people are primarily self-motivated. We want what we want. If we didn't have any concept of how we, treating other people decently, about loving other people, making sure, the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. If we weren't trained those things, what would we seek to do first and foremost? We would seek to satisfy self. Is always satisfying yourself at the expense oftentimes of others, is that a good way to live the life that God wants you to live? No. No, because we're told what? Who's greatest in the kingdom of God? The one who serves others, not themselves. So it's directly opposite to what would happen naturally if we just let them do what they want and figure it out on their own. Well, I figured out on my own that it's best that I get what I want when I want it. That's what I figured out is best. I know I'm the only one that's selfish. All the rest of you are so holy and, you know, pure. But I've figured out that it's best for me when I get what I want when I want it. Well, maybe I need to be trained that maybe isn't the best way to do it. But that's what we are naturally. That's what people are, left to their own devices, if they can have their own way and nobody ever tells them, hey, that's going to be problematic. That's what we are. So instead, it says that we teach. You think about you as a little child. Think about you as a kid. Your children are little yous. We did crazy stuff. We did things that were not right, were not good, okay, and we got in trouble for it. I mean, I used to get a spanking about every day. You know, whether they caught me doing something or not, they figured I deserved it. I had done something, they just didn't know about it, and so I got a spanking, all right? Because that's the way I was. And as I think I mentioned this, it was so funny, about a month or so ago, Kate and the girls were over, and we were watching videos of, hadn't looked at him in years, of when he was about 3-4 years old. And he's like, oh my gosh. He goes, I'm obnoxious. How did you put up with me? And then he goes, then he saw a certain act here and there. He goes, oh, that's Callie. That's Callie. Well, that's right. She's a little you. That's what kids are. So think about yourself, what you were like. Hopefully you grew up a little bit better, because as you grew, people taught you and trained you and corrected you. The word teaching here, it means to learn precepts and doctrines, foundational truths, to learn those foundational truths of life that we build our lives on. They're absolutes. This is the foundation of ourselves as people, of our society, and how we function. We're teaching these precepts, the foundational ideas that will build our lives on. The word rebuking, and it's not the same as correcting. The word rebuking here means the actual conviction, meaning that's wrong. Don't do that. Okay? That's rebuking. I would say this, everything that I've learned in the Bible that has taught me started with a rebuke. I learned it because I'm reading scripture, or the Holy Spirit says to me, you know that thing that you, the way you think or the way you do, stop, that's wrong. That's a rebuke. And then comes the correction. Don't do that, do this. Don't think that way, think this way. Don't put yourself first, put others first. So it lays that foundation in teaching. It rebukes us, saying, that's wrong, stop doing that. And then it brings the corrective action. This is how you do it instead. And when we do that, it trains us and leads. The training is the whole process. The correction is the correction from the rebuke. But when we do that consistently, that's training. And we're training to be for what? Training in righteousness. And the word righteousness, we use that word a lot. The word righteous in the Greek means to meet a standard. There's a standard that God has. And when we meet that standard, we are considered righteous. The other translation is threshold. We understand that you have to be able to get over a threshold to get into wherever the threshold separates you from. That's the idea of righteousness. Well, we can't meet that righteousness on our own. That's why we need the righteousness of Christ applied to our lives, so we meet that standard, so that we can exceed that threshold to get into the kingdom of God. So we are trained in righteousness. All of this acts to train us so that we meet the standard that God has for us. Training in righteousness is to train how we are in a right standing with God, instruction on which that aims to increase our virtue, to improve our life and our character. And verse 17 says, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are trained, why? So that we can satisfy self? No. We're trained so that we can, what's it say? We're equipped to do every good work. And that's what we are doing when we are training our children. This idea of equip, we want to equip our children. We want to equip them to do what is good, what is right, what is godly. It means, the word equip in the Greek means to complete or to finish. That is the process of Timothy here, what his mother and his grandmother have done. They have trained him so that he is a finished product. He is fully equipped to do those things which he should do as an adult, to furnish perfectly. Phew, that's a high challenge. Think about that, moms. Your job is to furnish perfectly what your children need, so that when they grow up, they are thoroughly equipped to do what God would want them to do. That's what the word equip means, to finish or to accomplish. So that's your challenge. That's what God's called you to do. And it's not just mothers, but I think that, you know, I look at this, there are different roles, obviously, that mothers and fathers have. But in the training of our children, I mean, both are involved. Ephesians 6:4, it references fathers, but I believe it's true for mothers also. This is just something I want to put out there as a little warning. I say this frequently, and maybe you get tired of me saying it, but it's not just the teaching. It's not just the setting down and saying, okay, here's what the Bible says, or here's what you should do. This is how you should act. This is how you should live. This is how you should think. This is how you should treat others. It is how you live. That's your biggest teacher. It's your biggest teacher. If you teach your children and say, do this, and then you do differently, I can almost guarantee you, you are going to have problems. You know, I put it this way. If you want to screw up your kids, come to church and claim to be Christian, and then go home and live differently, and your kids will see that, and I guarantee you, you will have screwed up kids. So, it's not just about the training and the correcting and all of that, the teaching. It's then, are we living it ourselves? Because here's what happens. And a lot of times people misunderstand this. When you say, do as I say, not as I do, because you're saying, we're going to go to church and we're going to do this, and then you go home and you live differently, this is what you're doing. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It is exasperating to a child to say, we're going to go to church and we're going to say we believe this, but I'm going to live my life this way. That's exasperating. And there's a lot of other ways that you can exasperate your children too. When you're training them, you say, well, you know, you did it almost right, but you didn't do it right. To always say, well, you didn't do it right. Oh, you failed. Oh, you didn't understand. Oh, you did. You know, you got a reward and encourage in that training. Maybe they don't. They're not always going to get it right. Did you get everything right the first time you tried it? You know, don't demand perfection in this whole idea of training, rebuking, correcting, teaching. Don't demand perfection. You know, you start, if they get it right once out of 10 times, great. The next time, they get it right 2 out of 10, 3 out of 10. That's what you want to see. Not first time off the bat, 10 out of 10. Because if that's what you demand out of your children, then you're going to exasperate them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we don't want to do that. We want to stay. If you find that your child and you sense that they are being exasperated through this training session, step back, take a look at it, and bring some evaluation and reevaluation of what you're doing, and hopefully correct that. Colossians 3:21, again, it says fathers, but applies to mothers also. Do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. We don't want to discourage. If our teaching, our correcting, our training, all that is discouraging them, then we need to step back and say, I'm doing something wrong here. I need to reevaluate the way I am trying to train them. Because training and growth and discouragement cannot take place at the same time. You cannot be discouraged and grow at the same time. So if you find that that's happening, if you sense that that's happening, we need to step back and say that, you know, I need to reevaluate the way I'm going about doing this. Do not embitter your children. They will become discouraged. I would say in this too, I don't know if this is completely right, but there are four things listed: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, right? Is what he lists in 2 Timothy 3:16. So I don't know. Don't make, here's the problem some parents have, rebuke, and it's easy to fall into. You have to fight to not have this happen. The rebuking portion, it's 1 out of 4. That makes it 25%, right? I mean, I'm no math genius, but I think that's 25%. Don't make rebuking 75% of those four things you're doing. If you're always rebuking, the majority of the time it's a rebuke. Don't do that. Stop doing that. That's wrong. Stop doing that. You're misbehaving. Don't. Then there's something wrong there, okay? What are you going to end up with? You're going to end up with embittered and discouraged children. So it all has to be done properly. It always has to be. And the best way, like I said, in order to know that you're doing it the way you should, is that you've got your life in good shape in your relationship with the Lord too. And then you'll keep these things in a proper balance. Let me close with this. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" We're going to end on this. I mentioned this earlier. Why is it so important to train children when they are young? Why is it so important to start when they are infants, as we read earlier? Here we see that it's important to teach young, to teach them when they are young. Because why is it so important? Because, folks, there's a day coming as we get older and older and older. What happens? Life becomes more challenging, more difficult, more disappointing. I'm not saying life gets worse. I'm not saying it gets bad. There are benefits of getting older too. I don't mean it to sound like that too. But there are going to be problems and challenges and trials and difficulties and disappointments and stuff that don't happen when you're a kid. How many of you look back and go, when you were a kid, you go, man, I didn't realize that my family was insane. But I didn't know any better because that's the family I lived with. So everything was just perfectly normal. I didn't know the meatloaf needed more salt because that's the way mom's meatloaf always was. We don't know that. Life is, as kids, we are just living life. You know, we didn't know that mom and dad were struggling, you know, financially or struggling. You know, we didn't know those hard things were there because we were just kids living our lives. But as you become adults, there's a greater and greater, and I believe this is one of the great things I've talked about before, going clear back to the Garden of Eden. God never wanted man to lose his innocence. That was God's command when he said, "Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." I don't want you to think in terms of good and evil, right and wrong. In other words, he was saying, remain innocent. This world, as you get older, steals your innocence because we all face the challenges of life and what it means to be human in this fallen world. If you wait to begin to train a person in the ways of God, when they see this fallen, messed up world, they're going to go, "Where's this God at? Why is this world like this? I'm experiencing all these difficult things. Now I don't think I'm interested. I don't buy it." But when we're trained young, it's not to confuse us or mislead us so that we have a faith when we get older that it's not real. It's so that I understand, if I'm trained in my relationship with the Lord, when the hard times come as an adult, I understand it's not God's fault that the world is like this. Human beings, we've made our choices as individuals. We've made our choices a race. We live in a fallen world. These are the things that come with a fallen world. But God sees me through the difficult times. We need to have that foundation when we're young. Rarely do people get that when they're old. It is much less like, and I don't remember the statistics of a person being being saved 16 and younger is astronomically higher than it is by the time you become an older teenager or even into young adulthood. The chances of a person coming to a saving faith in Jesus Christ just plummets. Why? Because we have all these things we can look at and point to, but that's what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with people, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with, and we don't see, it's hard to see God in all that. But if we've had a relationship with God for all those years and have an understanding, this is the world we live in, then now I can understand why, as an adult, these things are going on. I don't lose my faith. It's my faith that gets me through them. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you say, I find no pleasure in them. One of my biggest burdens when I have times of prayer is I always have a real burden for people that I know that get up, and they're everywhere out there in the world, that get up every day, they crawl out of bed, and they got to face another day, and they have no hope. They just have no hope of anything to look forward to, nothing going right, not achieving anything. It's just drudging through another day, and there are a lot of people that live like that. I find no pleasure. I can't imagine living that kind of life. I don't even know how you drag yourself out of bed. And a lot of people come to the point that they just say, I don't anymore. If we wait until we're in the middle of all that, chances are we are not going to be where we need to be with God. It's important to do it while they're young. And I know that every mother, every parent wants the best for their kids. Waiting for them to figure this out on their own when they get older, this tells me that is not a good thing to do. If you really love your children and want them to be, to have this great opportunity in life, then this is what we need to be doing, training them while they are young. And so God bless all of our moms. Moms, we have grandmothers now. Do we have any great grandmothers in here? Anybody willing to admit it if you are? Got a couple great grandmothers. I mean, God bless you. I know that, those years may seem like they're past you, but hopefully you can sit there and look with satisfaction and say, this is what I've passed on to this generation and this generation. It is critically important. It's not just, as I said, about our immediate children. It's about the effect that it has in the world, because those children go out and they live every day in the world. And as I said, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're older, they won't depart from it. And you might say, well, I know people that grew up in church. Two things. I know kids have grown up in church and they're older now and they're not serving the Lord. Okay, two things on that. I'm going to give away a secret. Nobody knows what's going on in somebody else's home. You may go over there and hang out there and things like that and be in other people's home from time to time, but trust me, you don't know what really goes on in that home when there's nobody around. And so I can tell you this in my 30-plus years now experience in ministry. You know why that happens? Because for not 100%, but the vast majority of the time, they went to church, they said, this is who we are, this is what we believe, and then they went home and they lived a different way. And the kids said, I see how this is hypocritical. I don't see any value in this. That's why they've gone. Or here's the other beauty of it I've seen. I've seen a lot of kids. This was true when I was a youth pastor. And I was there at a church long enough to see kids in high school and then into college and young adulthood. Kids that had been in that church had been raised up all their lives and kind of go away from the Lord as they were leaving, getting out of high school. But you know what? It was neat to see a lot of them as they got older. You know what they did? They came back. They came back. And so train them in the, they might. Hey, even the Amish have a period where they go out and sow their wild oats, right? But they come back. Why? Because they have that foundation that was laid when they were being trained as a young child. And so this is so important. The truth of the matter is, when our kids come into the world, we do receive instructions with them if we're willing to know what it says, read it, understand it, apply it, and teach it. And it's a beautiful thing. What a difference it makes in our life. You take any, take a young person who really has been trained and develop a relationship with the Lord as opposed to someone who doesn't, and they are just completely different people. And their perspective on life and their outlook on the world is just completely different. And I'll say this, too, about all of our ladies. Christian women are more beautiful than worldly women because they have God's glory on them, and I believe that. I believe that. And I've seen it make a difference. I've seen it make a difference. I probably have told this. We had a lady in our last church. She just recently passed away. Her name was Armida. And Armida, the first time I ever met Armida, I was doing a funeral for somebody that I didn't know. They weren't a part of our church, but they had asked me to do this funeral. There was some other connection. I knew somebody anyways. And so I was doing this funeral, and Armida was there. And Armida had some, she was had to be 40s, in her 50-ish maybe at the time. She lived a hard life. You could tell it. I think she came to the funeral like in a short red leather miniskirt, stiletto heels. She looked like she just came from the club. She then showed up at our church after I preached this sermon. And she got saved. She got saved. And the reason I say this is because she worked at the hospital there in Santa Maria. And she had a friend that she worked with, came up to her and said, "Oh, Armida." She goes, "You look so different. You look so happy. You look so, you know, you're glowing, you're radiant. Is there a new man in your life?" And she said, "Yes, his name is Jesus." She looked physically different when she got saved, and she did. That's what God does for you. Don't you want that for your kids? Why wait till you're 40, 50 years old for that? Why not teach them that when they're young? That's the role that you have, Mom. And when you pour that in with the love that you have, it's a powerful thing. So the instructions are provided if we're willing to take time to learn it, to know it, to apply it, to teach it to our kids. We do have instruction on how to raise our kids. Amen?